I do praise the Lord for what He's done today. It's good to be here this morning. So thankful for all of you that are gathered. If you're worshiping with us in the parking lot, we're glad that you're with us as well as those that are on the inside. I wanted to make mention, I hope she doesn't mind, but Sister Georgia Arnold is going to be leaving our community, and she's going to be beginning a new journey in Arizona, and probably toward the end of this month. So we're glad she's able to be with us today. Those of you that know her, you may want to wish her well in this new chapter in her life, and we're just thankful for the friendship that we share, and happy for her. If you've got your Bibles, I want to read from 1 Corinthians chapter 11. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, and I want to begin my reading in verse 17. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, beginning in verse 17. The Apostle Paul is speaking, and he said, "Now in this place I declare unto you, I praise you not, that you come together, not for the better, but for the worse." Doesn't sound like a good start, does it? Not a good start at all. "For first of all, when you come together in the church, I hear that there be divisions among you, and I partly believe it. For there must be also heresies among you, that they which are approved may be made manifest among you. When you come together, therefore, into one place, this is not to eat the Lord's supper, but in eating every one taketh before another his own supper, and one is hungry, and another is drunken. What? Have ye not houses to eat and to drink in? Or despise ye the church of God, and shame them that have not? What shall I say to you? Shall I praise you in this? I praise you not. For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. After the same manner also he took the cup, and when he had supped, saying, This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye, as often as ye drink it, in remembrance of me. For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death till he come. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of the bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep." And that doesn't mean sleep as we think of it, but it means many die. That's reading verses 17 through verse 30. My text is going to be a portion of verse 25 and verse 24, where Jesus concluded those verses with, "This do in remembrance of me." And today is the first Sunday of the month of May, and is our custom here at Crossroads Missionary Baptist Church. The first Sunday in May and the first Sunday in October, we gather together and we partake of the Lord's Supper, or as communion as some people call it. And I want us to realize and think about what was being said here to the Corinthians. You know, our participation, brothers and sisters, in the Lord's Supper, it strengthens our faith through the fellowship that we experience through Christ as we pay attention to what we're doing today. And it also strengthens the relationship that we have with our brothers and sisters in Christ. As I read from the scripture, in the church at Corinth, many had no respect for the Lord's Supper. Many of those that were gathered there were making a mockery of the Lord's Supper. And what I believe Paul was trying to do was he was trying to reprove them. He was trying to rebuke them. He was trying to reprimand them as he was calling them to remember how the Lord's Supper was instituted, and to remember what it represent, and why that they were to partake in it. So my thought for today is, what about the Lord's Supper? What about the Lord's Supper? What is so important about the Lord's Supper? Some of you may have that question this morning as you came in the doors and realized that we were going to partake of it. We've got some new members. We've got some that will be partaking with us perhaps for the first time. And it's important to understand what we're doing. And it's important to understand why we're doing what it is that we're doing. Why this ceremony is so important to us. And it is. And why this ceremony is so important to our church. And it is. And, you know, the early church, in the early years of the church, the Lord's Supper was held in connection with a meal. If you look back, you'll see that they came together for the Passover and they ate of the Passover meal. And it was then that Jesus instituted the Lord's Supper. Well, the church at Corinth, they had introduced what some call a love feast that preceded or that came before the reception of the Lord's Supper. They would get together and they would fellowship and they would share food together. They would share their drinks together and then they would observe the Lord's Supper during that time. I would guess that they probably started out right. They probably started out doing it right, and they probably started out doing it for the right reasons, but they weren't doing it the right way, and they weren't doing it for the right reasons any longer. And now the Corinthian church was making a mockery of the Lord's Supper during this time of the ordinance that was established by Jesus. In our Wednesday night studies, we've talked about the church at Corinth. And we talked about a lot of the different things that were going on at the church. I'll just summarize it by saying they had problems. They had things going on in the church that shouldn't have been going on in the church. Oh, they still gathered to worship and to sing the songs and to do those things, but there were things happening within the church that shouldn't have been happening in the church. And so we know that earlier passages, and as I read, there was some deep divisions in the Corinthian church. And these divisions, they were magnified when they were coming together to partake of the Lord's Supper. Paul said in verse 18, "For first of all, when you come together in the church, I hear that there be divisions among you, and I partly believe it." Well, he heard a lot of things. He didn't believe everything that he heard, but there were some things that he did believe from which he was hearing. And so some of it was true, and some of it wasn't, but the things that were true, his message to them is, you need to correct it. You need to fix it. We're told in verse 21 that he said, "For in eating, everyone taketh before another his own supper, and one is hungry and another is drunken." Well, that's not how it was originally set up to be. Originally, it was set up for everybody to bring collectively together and for everybody to share what they brought together. And that provided plenty for everybody. We practiced that last week for our fifth Sunday meal. We had our fellowship meal. We all brought our meals and we put them on the table and everybody went through the line and we shared everything. We didn't do like the Corinthians were doing. Instead of sharing with everybody, I didn't see anybody last week bring what they brought for their family and take it down to their table and huddle it around their table and eat what they had. We don't do it that way. And they didn't do it that way, but at some point in time, that changed. And instead of sharing, everyone set off in their own little group of friends that they had got together, and they shared the food among themselves. Well, the result of that was some were neglected. Some had very little. Some had nothing at all to eat. And others, they were indulging and they were eating like gluttons and they had more than they needed. And they were treating the affair as a social gathering instead of what the Lord's Supper was meant to be. In fact, some of them, they said, were fellowshipping off to the side and were getting drunk by the things that they were eating. There was no real Christian fellowship or love whatsoever being experienced. And although the church was partaking of the bread and they were partaking of the cup, it was not celebrating the Lord's Supper. What they were doing was really, it was meaningless. What they were doing, it was useless. What they were celebrating was this feast to the evil spirits of selfishness and of indulgence. It wasn't unto the Lord as it was originally intended. So the Lord's Supper had lost its meaning to the church at Corinth. It was just another chance for people to get together. And during that, it magnified the differences that they had between themselves. And they had no reverence for the Lord's Supper or what it represented. Paul didn't approve of their actions. Listen again what he said in verse 22. What? Have ye not houses to eat or to drink in? Or despise ye the church of God and shame them that have not? What shall I say unto you? Shall I praise you for this? He said, I praise you not. He wanted them to know that they didn't just eat or drink. He wanted to know why they didn't just eat or drink at their own homes. That they weren't supposed to be gathered there to make the Lord's Supper a meal in and of itself. And what he was telling them was, the way that you're doing this and how you're doing it, it's disgraceful. He was telling them that it's shameful and it brings shame upon the church of God. They claim to be taking the Lord's Supper, but what they were doing had nothing to do with what the Lord's Supper represents. I guess what I'm trying to say is the church at Corinth, they were going through the motions, but they were doing the Lord's Supper all wrong. All wrong. So how does that relate to us today? We don't usually have a fellowship dinner with our Lord's Supper. We won't today. It doesn't work out that way. Certainly, we're not drunk during the Lord's Supper. So this really doesn't speak to us today, right? Not so fast. We can get close to the Corinthian church today. Maybe not in the exact same way they did it, but we can get close. We can get close by forgetting what the meaning of the Lord's Supper is. We can have the ceremony and go through the ceremony and there be not be anything real to it, to us. We can go through the motions and not really have our hearts into it. In doing so, brothers and sisters, we can make a mockery of it by disregarding its true meaning. And we don't ever want to do that. We don't ever want to do that. To observe the Lord's Supper properly, we need to be reminded of what we're doing it for. Appreciate the songs, Brother Will, trying to help us get our minds and hearts focused on what we're doing here today. And, we need to be reminded that we need to keep our reverence for this ordination. We need to review just what the Lord's Supper means. And what does it mean to us as a church? And what does it mean to us as Christian people individually? That's what verses 23 and 26 were doing when he was telling them to remember why it is that they're doing what they're doing. This do in remembrance of me is what he said. And Paul's reminder to the Corinthians is a reminder to us about the meaning of the Lord's Supper. We know who instituted the Lord's Supper, at least I hope we do. It was Jesus Christ himself who instituted the Lord's Supper. And as they gathered for the Passover, that first Lord's Supper, right before Jesus' crucifixion, the symbolization, I think, is very clear, and we should recognize what it was. What was Passover? Passover was to celebrate deliverance from slavery in Egypt. That's what they were celebrating. The Lord's Supper, brothers and sisters, it celebrates our deliverance from sin because of the Lord Jesus' death. And as Jesus broke the bread and as he passed the cup and he said, do this in remembrance of me. In verse 24, He said, "This is my body, which is broken for you." What did he mean when Jesus said that? You know, the bread of the Lord's Supper we're going to be taking this morning is to remind us of Jesus' body. Remind us of what, Pastor? It's to remind us that he gave his body for us. And it's to remind us that he gave his back to the whip when they scourged him. And it's to remind us that he gave his legs and he gave his strength to carry the cross to Calvary that he might be crucified thereat. And he gave his hands to be nailed to the cross. And he gave his feet to be nailed to the cross. And he gave his side to be pierced by the soldier's spear. All of these things Jesus gave so that his mind and his emotions and his entire body, he gave that on the cross. And when we take this bread in the Lord's Supper, it is to remind us of the broken body of Christ. Our hearts and our minds should go to what Jesus did. Easter was just a few weeks ago, and we talked about the crucifixion of Jesus on the cross and what an awful thing it is. But when we take the Lord's Supper, we need to praise God, and we need to think about what he went through and what he endured for us. Verse 25, he said, "After the same manner also he took the cup when he had supped, saying, 'This cup is the New Testament in my blood.'" He poured out his life's blood to the whip. You think about all these things. People think, well, when the soldier pierced his side, water and blood ran out. No. Everything that Christ went through, whether it be the scourging, whether it be the crown of thorns that was pressed upon his head, the blood dripped from that. The blood dripped from the scourging. The blood dripped from his hands being nailed to the cross. The blood dripped from his feet. The blood dripped and ran when they pierced his side. So when we drink of the cup this morning, we are to remember the atonement for our sins and what it took. And what it took was the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I want us to remember this morning why Jesus did this. Why would somebody go through all of that? And when we observe the Lord's Supper, we are proclaiming the death of Christ. Verse 26 of my reading said, "And as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death till he come." Brothers and sisters, we're to remember why he gave up his body. I hope this morning that we already know the answer. He did it for you. That's why he did it. He did it for you. He gave up his body on the cross for you. He suffered the physical pain that he endured through all of that and the humiliation that went along with it. He did it for you. He gave his body in your place. Jesus suffered all the physical pain and humiliation. He did it for you. He took our place. He redeemed you with his body. Brothers and sisters, remember why he shed his blood. His blood poured out for you. Hebrews 9 and 22 tells us, "Without the shedding of blood, there is no remission for sin." Or in other words, there is no forgiveness of sin. God required a blood sacrifice for sin. And listen this morning, Jesus fulfilled that requirement with his own blood. We are forgiven of our sins through the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. What about the Lord's Supper? Why are you sharing all of this with us, Pastor? I said earlier that I'm sharing this with you because the Lord's Supper is an important Christian ordinance. It's important. It's a reminder of what Jesus has done for us. We're to have that on our minds. You may not want to think about that, but that's what we need to be thinking about this morning as we partake. It should invoke us to awe for our great Savior. And it should invoke us to reverence him for what he has done for us. With such an important event, we should prepare our hearts correctly for the observance of the Lord's Supper. What is the proper way to observe the Lord's Supper? I think this morning as we gather, we should treat the Lord's Supper in a precious and a praiseworthy manner because of what He did for us. Some of the Corinthians, as I said, were observing the Lord's Supper in what Paul called in verse 27, he called it an unworthy manner. They were partaking of the Lord's Supper in an unworthy manner, which means that they were doing it in an irreverent way. They were doing it in a common way. They were treating the Lord's Supper just like any other meal without any reverence to it whatsoever. And I want us to realize this morning, what we're about to do is not your ordinary supper. What we're doing this morning is not your ordinary snack. It's not a time for cutting up. It's not a time for laughing. It's not a time for talking to your neighbor about what you're going to do when you get out of service this morning. What this Lord's Supper symbolizes is of the utmost importance to all who have faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. It's a time of reverent reflection of the pain and agony that Jesus Christ suffered for every single human being, giving them the opportunity for salvation, to be saved. What did Paul mean in verse 28 when he said to examine yourselves? Well, he meant just that. He meant we should examine ourselves before taking the Lord's Supper. And listen, in my ministry, I have known professed Christians who said they have never taken the Lord's Supper. I don't mean to offend, but shame on you. Shame on you. You need to understand what God's Word says. There isn't a single one of us that is worthy to take the Lord's Supper. But yet God commanded us to do it. He gave us an ordinance to do it. And in doing so, what He said to us was, is that we need to examine our hearts. And if there is any division like the Corinthians had, He's telling us to take care of that division now before the Lord's Supper. And what He was saying was, if there is any of us that have any sin within our lives and we haven't confessed that sin to the Lord and we haven't repented of that sin to the Lord, well, what He's telling us to is confess it now. Repent it now. Get it fixed before you take the Lord's Supper. I have to do that. I'm sure I have an unconfessed sin. You don't have to look at me like that. What I mean by that is I am sure that I have committed the sin of omission. I'm sure there's something that I was supposed to do for the Lord that I didn't do. And I'm guilty of that. And I'm going to get forgiveness of that before I partake of the Lord's Supper. There may be somebody here who says, yeah, you think that's bad. I did something that I shouldn't have done. I committed the sin of commission. Well, if you did, fix it. Get it right and partake of the Lord's Supper. Maybe you're not in that right frame of mind. Maybe you're not in that serious, reverent frame of mind. Take care of that right now. Get in the right frame of mind so that you can partake of the Lord's Supper. The Lord takes His ordinance of the Lord's Supper very seriously. And I believe this morning that He expects us to take it very seriously too. He expects us to take it, but He expects us to take it very seriously as well. This morning, remember Jesus Christ. Remember that He gave His body for your salvation. He shed His blood for your salvation. The cross at Calvary that He hung, it means forgiveness. The cross means eternal life for those that have put their faith and trust in Jesus as their personal Savior by grace through faith. And we have all the promise of what God has prepared for us one day after when we leave this life. But while we're here on this earth, He still wants us to fulfill the ordinances that He gave us, one of which is the Lord's Supper. And as you examine yourself, everyone's got to ask themselves, have I personally trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ under the salvation of my soul and the promise of eternal life? That's the first really examination a person needs to do. What did you just say, preacher? I said, are you saved? That's what I said. Do you know Jesus as your personal Savior? If not, you're disqualified from taking the Lord's Supper. You can't take it with us today. But you can seek the Lord and be saved today. And if your heart is troubled today because you know you're not a child of God, that you're lost in sin and need to be saved, this altar is right here. You can come right now, and you can come and you'll bow, and we'll pray with you, and we'll do whatever we have to do until you find peace with God. We'll get to this later. But that's the first thing that needs to be done. Examine yourself. Make sure those of us that have been saved, those of us that have been baptized, you see there's an order to God's plan here. First thing is to be saved. The next thing is to be baptized and become a member of the Lord's church. That's the qualifications that make it possible for you to get to the second ordinance, which is to partake of the Lord's Supper. I pray that as we prepare for the Lord's Supper, that it'll have real meaning to you this morning. My prayer is that we are not like the church in Corinth. That we don't partake of the Lord's Supper today in a way that they did, where they made a mockery of it. And I know we're not going to, but my message this morning was to remind us about what we're doing and why we're doing it. And I'm going to ask my deacons, if they would, to come forward and prepare the table. And while they're doing that, I want to just briefly explain who can partake of the Lord's Supper. As I mentioned a few moments ago, first of all, you have to be saved and you have to be a member of the Lord's church. Different churches practice the Lord's Supper differently. And what I mean by that, some churches practice closed communion. And that simply means that the only people that can partake of the Lord's Supper are those which are members of that specific church. Nobody else can take it. Then there's close communion, which is what we practice. And what that means is if you've been saved and you've been baptized into the Lord's church and you belong to another missionary Baptist church like ours that worships and serves like we do and has the same faith and doctrine as we do, we invite you to take with us. And of course, there's open communion where anybody can take it, and we don't practice that either. So today, having explained who can partake, I would ask those that are with us today, if you fit the qualifications to partake with us, we invite you to partake with us. And that you think about what it is that we're doing today. If you don't fit those qualifications, we just ask that you observe how that we partake today. I'll ask you to stand as we prepare. And for those that are going to partake, if you'll stand, it'll make it easier for our deacons to see. And I'm just rearranging things a little bit. It'll be helpful if I got the word. The Gospels have many places where it talks about the Lord's Supper, but you all know me. I like Matthew's account in the 26th chapter the best. And in that portion of God's word, they had come together, and before they partook of it, just give me a minute. Talks about they partook of the bread first. And it talked about how that the bread was broken. And it said that he blessed the bread. Would you bow with me in prayer? Our precious Heavenly Father, as we have gathered together in your house this day, we're thankful and grateful, our Heavenly Father, for the day. We're thankful, Father, for the privilege to live where we live, that we have the freedom to worship in the way that we believe the Word of God teaches us, that we have the privilege to gather together with our brothers and sisters in Christ. Today is a special day for us as a church. This is a special time for us as your children, as Christians. And we pray, our Heavenly Father, before we partake of this ordinance that you've established for us, that we do take time for reflection. That each one of us, our Heavenly Father, including myself, that in our hearts and our minds, it doesn't have to be out verbally, but we do pray, Father, for forgiveness of sin. We know, our Heavenly Father, while we're in these fleshly bodies, that we're going to make mistakes. We know, Father, that we're going to sin, either commission or omission. But our heart's desire is for it to be in the right place, that our heart is in a desire that the Holy Spirit will lead and guide and direct our lives in the way that you'd have us to go, and that we'll be open and attentive to that Spirit of God. So we pray, our Heavenly Father, as we take this bread, that we realize this morning, our Heavenly Father, what it represents, that our minds think about the suffering that you endured for this plan of salvation to come together. And we know, Father, that it had to be a perfect sacrifice. And we know that you were the perfect sacrifice because you committed no sin. And we thank you today, Father, for your love toward us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. For it's in Jesus' name we pray and ask these things. And amen. Those of you that are in the parking lot, Brother Kenny is going to come out and serve you.